Saraha referred to the fact that we're also celebrating the 60th anniversary of my going forth. I hadn't actually intended to say anything about that. I had intended to keep it for another occasion, but this morning, just thinking over what I was going to say, I thought, well, why not? Huh? Why not say a little bit, at least a little bit, about my going forth? Huh? Perhaps I will give a full-length talk about it at some point, but meanwhile, let me say just a little before carrying on with from where I'm leaving off. Those of you who've read my memoirs know how I went forth from a place called Kosali with a friend, having given away my worldly possessions and wearing the yellow robes, shaven headed, all that. And I spent at least a couple of years wandering here and there, staying in different places with this friend. So I sometimes ask myself, well, why did I do it and what did I learn? Well, it's 60 years ago and it's not easy to look back and say exactly what my motivation was, except that I wanted to lead a thoroughly Buddhist life, as near to the life of the Buddha as I could at that time. But one of the things, one of the motivations that I had was that I wanted to go forth from any sort of civic or national identity. Of course, I was in India as an Englishman, as a foreigner, and I threw away my identification papers so that I was, as it were, anonymous. I didn't have any national identity, at least in my own mind. And that is one of the things that I learned at that time. You may in your own mind not identify yourself with any particular group, social, national, caste, class, but other people will want to identify you. You sometimes have to fight quite hard to retain your non-identity, if you see what I mean. But that was in a way my ideal, not to consider myself in my heart of hearts as being English as opposed to some other nationality or nationalities. And I understood that to be an essential part of the spiritual life and attitude of the monk. Subsequently, I discovered that most Buddhist monks in the East were intensely nationalistic, and this rather disappointed me. But I still uphold this ideal that we should try to see ourselves as Buddhists as citizens of the world and not identify ourselves too closely with any particular nationality or culture or conditioning of that kind. So that's one of the things. And of course I was wandering in India, and I came to know a lot about India in this way, at a grassroots level. I knew what village life was like and small town life was like, and like the Indian open road was like. I had that experience, and that helps to give me a great love of India and the Indian people, which deepened as the years went by. And there was something else. Since I was a wanderer, a parivrajaka, I described myself in those days as, a freelance wanderer. A freelance wanderer. By freelance meaning I did not at that time belong to any Buddhist group or society or organization or order. So a freelance wandering ascetic, that's how I described myself. And of course, not having any occupation, any means of livelihood, I was dependent on other people. And sometimes quite literally, was with my friend at one stage, begging my food, especially after I was ordained as a samanera and had actual begging bowl. I was dependent on other people for my food, and sometimes for shelter at night. Sometimes, of course, there was no shelter when we slept in the open, wherever we could. But there was always food. That was very interesting. I don't think we ever went hungry, even though although at that time we were dependent on other people for food. And this gave rise at the time, and still gives rise to various reflections. That experience was very important for me because it showed me in a very concrete form the way in which we're dependent on other people. Now, today I had lunch. I expect most of you did. So how was it that I had lunch? I didn't prepare it myself. It was prepared by Sanghadeva. Now, how was it that Sanghadeva was able to prepare lunch? Well, the vegetables and other things were all there. But where did those vegetables come from? Well, there's a man who comes along once a week and brings potatoes and carrots and things. So where does he get them from? Well, he gets them from the wholesaler, I think. And where does the wholesaler get them from? Well, gets them perhaps from the farmer, but maybe there are even more intermediate stages. So we are very dependent on other people. And not only dependent, but interdependent. And sometimes we forget that. But I was very sharply reminded of that fact every day. When I was during my wandering period. And of course, much of the time, wandering from place to place, we slept in a different place every night for some periods, just once or twice settling down for a while. And that meant that I developed a sort of sense of detachment to place. And even after coming back to this country, I've lived in a number of different places. I lived at the Hampstead Vihara, then in a succession of flats, and I've lived at Padmaloka, I lived at the LBC, I lived at Titishaw, I lived in Cornwall, I lived in Castleacre, lived in London again, now I'm living here in Birmingham. So I've learned to be quite independent of place, and quite happy to move to a new place. And I find that even now, if I go and stay for a few days, maybe at Padmaloka or at Sri Ratnaloka, never have any difficulty sleeping, as some people do when they change their bed for the night. And I always feel quite at home, you know, wherever I happen to be. So that, I think, is a part of the legacy of those wandering days of mine all those years ago. So I've learned those lessons, and perhaps on some future occasion I'll talk at greater length about them.